I'm sure it'd be okay with my mom. She's pretty easygoing these days. Welcome to the final part of our series, Back to the Basics. I'm so happy to see you today. And it looks to me like you've been practicing going back to the basics, so good for you. Not mine. The next one might be mine. Okay. So back to the basics, we started with what is the nature of life, the nature of God, the thing itself, and of course we always start there, and we can't go any further until we have an understanding that this thing itself is not a person, not a big super being, but rather it's personal to us. It is an impersonal law, it's a presence, it's a one life, it's creative power, it's the first cause of everything visible. Everything that we can see, everything that we can touch, everything we can taste is a result of it. And it is moving through us as well as it is moving throughout the universe. So what it does is it brings into being experiences, connections, friendships. It brings into experience, if we're conscious, it brings our good. So that brings us to today's topic, which is how to use it. How to use it. And honestly, how to use it, we've been talking about all the way along. How to use it is intelligently, consciously, mindfully to speak our word and to anchor our beliefs on something that is true, on something that is spiritually true, the essential self, the essence of all life. And that when we do this, when we remember that this thing itself is for us, that it loves us and its nature is love, then we start to realize that we're responsible for what we bring into our lives. We're responsible because not because we make it happen by doing something out there. You don't have to write a letter. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to do anything. Everything is done within your own mind. Everything is done within your own heart. There is no separation between you and this presence, although it's everywhere present, and your nature is the same as it. Infinite, eternal, immortal being. That's who you are, and that's who I am. And we're here to remind ourselves of this, and to use it intelligently. Dr. Holmes says, people when they start thinking about their science, when they start demonstrating it and they start looking at it, is it really a science? Can this really be true that our deep beliefs cause our experience? And here on page 52 of the textbook is one of my favorite pieces, not the one you all know that is my favorite, but this is a second favorite. He says, hence it follows that when we do not believe it, it works by not working. Right? Hence it follows. So if it is only moving through our consciousness, if we have a great doubt, then the great doubt will deliver to us the result of that doubt. That great doubt will deliver to us the thing that we've been fearing, the thing that we have been pushing away. Okay, so the first thing in how to use it is awaken to your magnificence. Know who you are. Know who you are and confidently direct this law by speaking the truth about yourself. Now, the truth, it doesn't include any facts at all. The truth includes your spiritual self, your essence, your being. It's first about being. The doing comes out of the being. So the more you know who you are, the more you demonstrate or magnetize to yourself experiences that are in the same nature as God is. So the nature would be one of harmony, one of peace, one of prosperity, health, wholeness, life. Life is God's being. So to awaken to your magnificence, you first of all have to know that this is the truth of you. And then practice from that place. I've spoken all month about practice, practice, practice. Learn how to cooperate, embody this truth, this law. So one of the things that, since God is love, that it's our nature to be loving, to be kind. So one of the things in the movie, by the way, you can see that movie clip by going to our website, and it's a 2.5-minute clip, and then you'll be able to show your friends what the clip is. I think it's going to be a great, great movie, and we'll all enjoy it. And so our technology is great. You can just go to our website and see it there. So be kind. One of the slides we didn't say out loud, but our wonderful friend Ned Powell made his transition this week. So our condolences to Judy and to the family, knowing that they continue to be supported, comforted, loved. I will let you know when and where the memorial service will be. So be kind. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. How many of you have had a massage lately? Hands up. Okay, should be twice that many. Should be twice that many. Having a massage is something you do for you, to be kind to you. There's a little story that I heard. How many of you have raised a puppy? Okay, now some more of you raised a puppy. Okay, you'll be able to relate to this. I had a puppy when I was in my when I was in my early 20s. It was a I want to say Great Dane, but it wasn't. It was a big dog. Even as a puppy, it was a great big dog, and just like when we first brought her home, she cried and cried and cried in her kennel, cried and cried and cried, and people gave us all sorts of advice, and eventually she stopped crying. But I heard a story recently about a family that was having the same issue, and the first night the dog barked and cried and kept everyone awake all night. And they shouted at that dog, they warned that dog, they threatened that dog, and the next night, they went to bed. They were certain things would be better, and the dog started barking and crying again. So the little girl, the four-year-old, went down. They could hear the dog quieted down, and she sang to the dog, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine." She sang to the dog in this sweet little child voice, and the dog quit barking and crying. And never again did he bark and cry at night. That one act of love, that kindness, set a tone. I think what that little child did was assure that dog that that puppy was not alone, that she was there with him, right? Yeah. So number one, be kind. Number two, be loving. Be loving. I heard a story, and I can't tell you the people's names because that went out of my head right away as soon as I heard it. But the story itself stayed in. It was a story about a child who at 5 years old was really close to death's door with leukemia. And he loved baseball, and he happened to have a certain person that he particularly cared about, first baseman. And the nurses heard him talking about how much he loved baseball, and they thought, wouldn't it be nice if this baseball player would come? And he did. He and his wife came, took time out of their busy schedules, and he talked with this child about baseball for a good couple of hours, about the joys of baseball. Only other baseball players could imagine what they could talk about for 2 hours. It's kind of a mystery to me. But they talked, and then as he was leaving, the player said, "My first hit will be for you." So the child, of course, is watching the game, and the first hit was he got on base. He got to third base, so that's a three-something.
A triple. It's a triple.
Anyway, the child was so excited. And he knew that that was for him. That this baseball player cared enough about him to dedicate this hit to him. And you think maybe a loving act like that wouldn't have a deep effect. But the person I heard this story said he thought likely this child had never known that he was really loved and treasured. Likely he hadn't realized that his life was important, that it made a difference. Because 30 years later, that child is still alive. Something happened. I think the thing that happened is a new agreement with life, a new agreement to receive love and give love. So when you don't believe it, it still works. Even when you don't believe it. Even when you don't believe it, it still works. And it works by saying, yeah, see, it isn't true. So one of the things that you really need to do is to learn how to pray affirmatively. All prayer is good. But what we teach, and the reason that we emphasize classes so much, is that what we teach in these classes is affirmative prayer. And in affirmative prayer, you don't beseech, you don't beg, you don't threaten, you don't say, okay, God, if you don't do this, I'm going to whatever. It's none of those things. In affirmative prayer, knowing our oneness, we speak boldly our word. We have an intention. A couple of weeks ago on the giving envelope that says the value you got, that I got from today's service was, someone wrote a very peculiar thing, and it included big place, not many people. And I thought, well, that's kind of true right now. But what that person didn't know is that 2.25 years ago, we demonstrated, we bought this building after at least 20 years of looking for a building. I've been with the center for 16 years, and before that, we'd been in process of looking for a building, look for something that we can own. We finally found it. And that was a huge demonstration. How did it happen? Well, first of all, we prayed about it. We knew, we saw ourselves as homeowners. And in fact, we called the committee that was mainly in charge of this for the first 8 years, every month or two, the Home That We Own Committee. The Home That We Own Committee, because we were moving toward not just being renters, but taking ownership and inviting all of the people that took ownership with us to come with us. And many did. And now we have a changed population, a changed congregation, and it's all good. And it's all good. How it occurs, just like the kids are growing their garden, they first plant seeds. That's what we do, too. We take the seed thought. And here's what happens. First of all, there'll be an idea. We'll look, oftentimes it's a picture that just flashes through your mind. Something for you. And you might ignore it, but if it's really for you, it's going to flash again. And when you see it, you grab hold of it. And this is what you do. Then when you decide you really can do that, that you're worthy of that good. So I look out here and I see people who have started new businesses, that have changed their businesses and flourished in their businesses. Using these principles, I see people who have had great demonstrations of health and wholeness because of these principles. And we couldn't do that if we were praying beseechingly. We've been praying affirmatively. And I've asked someone that has a wonderful demonstration of wholeness and health to just share a little bit about her story. So Joan Evans Fay, would you please come forward? And we need this mic mic'd.
I am so grateful for my life. And every morning I wake up and I sing that song. I'm just so grateful for my life. So grateful for my life. Thank you, God, for my life. So did I believe I could go through this whole year and do all the steps? I didn't have any belief that drugs could help me and not eating for 3 months could be a good thing. And I didn't believe in any of that. I didn't know how I was going to survive. But I had Crohn's disease, and in July, I was told I had 60% chance that I would be here in 2015. And when I was told that, I went, what? But then I remembered I have a lot to do that I want to do on this planet Earth. And I had sent a treatment out for myself that I did not want to take Crohn's disease with me. So either I was going to do this work on the other side or I was going to do it here, but I didn't want to take that pain and suffering. And what Crohn's disease is the body attacking the intestines so that it bleeds and then it gets really restricted and then food can't go through. So I sent that out knowing that I was going to have a wonderful life on planet Earth, and all these events happened. And the bottom line is, I had surgery 2 weeks ago in Phoenix where they do a sparing technique. Instead of taking out the intestines that are diseased, they fix it all up. They make it look pretty, and they run a fake balloon through it to make sure it's all open. And so I'm not pregnant. I'm just full of myself and ready to take birth into a new self. And really all that's left is light and air. That's all that's left in me. And it's because of our belief. I didn't believe, can I go through this? I believe that I have a purpose. I believe that my treatment would be responded to, that I am going to go forth and do great things. And boy, can I do stuff just being all light? And can I do stuff knowing the truth of who I am? And so I'm just so very grateful. And it's your consciousness and you knowing the truth for me that helped me through my journey. So thank you, my dear brothers and sisters, that you go with me in my heart wherever I go and know the truth for me.
Thank you, Joan. Thank you so much. Joan's husband, Michael, told me last week that the miracle of Joan that she didn't share was 3 months ago they told her to get her affairs in order. When I saw her after that, she was literally eating nothing. She had ice cubes. That's all she had. And so to see her here healthy and strong today is absolutely wonderful. So welcome back, Joan. So learning to pray affirmatively in my Essential Learners class, we learned an interesting thing because we've always taught prayer a certain way in our teaching. But Ernest, first of all, he didn't pray out loud often. He prayed silently. He did the work in his mind. And what he did, he says in his own words, there are actually four steps. And let me share with you what they are. So learning how to pray affirmatively, all of you can go home and do this. Number one, recognize what God is. So it's still the same first step, recognition. Recognize what this divine life is, what it does, where it is, the omniscience, the omnipresence, the omnipotence of it. Recognize that. State it out loud, or if you're doing it silently, get fully into the awareness that there is truly only one life. And all of us are in that life and of that life. So the next part, Ernest calls identification. We call it unification usually, but identification is a great word because what he says about it is, then you identify that which God is, I am. That which I am, God is. It's that which thou art, I am. In other words, the holiness of this presence. We are one with it. And so we then consciously identify our oneness, identify the power that is in us, identify that this creative process that's everywhere present is right where I am. And then the next step, He calls declaration, we often use that as well, declaration. You declare boldly what it is you intend. Declare boldly your wholeness. Declare boldly your well-being. Declare boldly your love. Declare boldly your creativity. Declare boldly whatever it is that was that thing that flashed before you, and you know it's yours. That thing that is your heart's desire, that's yours. So declare it boldly. And then the last step is acceptance. Accepting with gratitude that this thing is already done. Accepting with gratitude. Now, this is pretty easy to do. It's pretty easy to do. And I'll give you an example, but I'll do that at the end of the talk. Learning to pray affirmatively is absolutely essential. Every prayer makes a difference. Affirmative prayers corresponding to the truth within you must demonstrate themselves. So here's the thing. You can't pray then from that place of doubt. You can't pray from the place of fear. You can't pray from the place of, well, I wonder if that'll work. Or, worse yet, I hope that works. Because you've just dug up the seed that you just planted. Is her name Anita Morjani? Anyway, she wrote a book called Dying to Be Me. And she was a young woman who, an educated woman who had, she had a near-death experience. For 3 months, she was in a coma. They, of course, did not expect her to live. And when she was in that near-death experience, she recognized how she was falsely living her life. When people asked her, what do you think? What gave you this cancer in the first place? She said, I'm sure it was fear. I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of not pleasing people. I was afraid of not doing too much, doing too much. Fear. Fear and love cannot sit together in the same place. So if you are in love, you can't be afraid. If you are feeling God's love, you can't feel fear, because fear is the opposite of God. So learning to pray effectively means more than the four steps. It means also the total confidence that this good that you desire is already yours. So you pray in the first person, in the present tense, knowing it's already done, knowing that this thing that moves through you knows itself as good and good only. Okay. So is there something that you might give up today? Is there something that you might release, let go? Is there something that you might choose to surrender? Some aspect of your personality, of your being, that is not rooted in the divine. Today's the day to say yes to the good that you are, to the greatness that you are, and to your own magnificence. So Diane is going to help me get into the prayer. I invite you to just get yourself quiet and just take a moment and listen to these lyrics.
To your love,
And so opening to God's love, we begin this prayer. I remind myself that this one is infinite, unconditioned, and unconditional love. I remind myself that it is everywhere present. There is not a spot where God is not. I remind myself that this one power is all power, that it is wholeness, that it is life itself, that it is everywhere present. I remind myself that it is the creative process working through its perfect law of cause and effect. And then, with great awareness and great gladness, I realize and recognize I am one with it. Everything it is, I am. I am its essence. I am its life. I am the wholeness that it is. And I am that thing that the beloved is. I'm the thing that the presence is. And with that awareness, I speak my word for myself and everyone here. This is what I know. I know that this one is good and good only. So what I know for each one is that this one provides good for our lives. I know for each one of us that in a greater, more connected, more conscious way than ever before, we move toward our vision of self, our vision of wholeness, our vision of happiness, our vision of creativity in life. I know that this one that is the power and presence of God in me connects with others, is love itself. I know that this one that is the power and presence of God is the seed of all creativity. And divine ideas are flowing to each one right here, right now. And I know that this one is the comforter of all, that bringing grace and wholeness to every situation, turning its light on, the darkness disappears. And so each one is uplifted and blessed and is a blessing. I know that this is the way it is, that each one is whole, complete, perfect in body, mind, and spirit. And I know that this is just the beginning, for indeed it is the way it is. And please join me in saying, and so it is. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.